This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
The CDC is reporting South Carolina has the first known U.S. COVID-19 case of a fast-spreading variant discovered in South Africa. Although easier to spread, there is no indication it's deadlier. Moderna, Pfizer, and now Novavax have each reported that their vaccines, while still effective, offer less protection against the South African variant, which means a lower efficacy rate somewhere between 60 and 85.6%. Former President Trump met with House of Representatives Republican leader Kevin McCarthy on Thursday and agreed to help Republicans win back the majority in the House. Representative McCarthy says Democrats have only put forward an agenda that divides America further. And President Trump is committed to helping elect Republicans in the House and Senate in 2022. Cicely Tyson, the actress who captured the power and grace of black women in America, has died. Tyson's death was announced by her family, who did not immediately provide any additional details. She was 96. This is USA Radio News.
The new year is here, and the time is now to capitalize on the tech boom in the U.S. markets. The red-hot e-commerce payment sector is on fire with no signs of slowing down. Text the word HOT to 48542. Here's just one example of what you can get with the up-to-minute research from Avid Market Readers. According to Allied Market Research, mobile payments are on track to exceed $12 trillion, and Avid has identified one of the hottest companies in North America that is poised to dominate the mobile payment and e-commerce sector in 2021. Text the word HOT to 48542 to get your free subscription to Avid Market Readers. We deliver the data directly to your mobile device so you can make decisions as market conditions change. If you're interested in our hit list of the hottest stocks to look at in 2021, then text the word HOT to 48542. Set your investment research strategy to hyper growth mode now with our information delivery system from Avid Market Readers. Text HOT to 48542 now and don't get left behind in 2021. Text HOT to 48542.
She loves me, she loves me not. With Valentine's Day right around the corner, it's time to take care of our sweeties. And spending less means giving more heart. USA Radio News' John Clements has more.
In 2021, those celebrating Valentine's Day are expected to spend a total of $21.8 billion. But according to Catherine Cullen of the National Retail Federation, that may sound like a lot, but it's way off from last year.
This year, those celebrating plan to spend about $165 on average, which is about $32 less than they spent last year.
Many consumers are committed to celebrating Valentine's Day.
We're seeing a real commitment from consumers to celebrating friends and family, loved ones, even if they're having to alter or adapt those traditional holiday celebrations.
From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, I'm John Clemens.
Thanks for listening. It's well appreciated. We are USA Radio News.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
South Carolina is attempting to change their abortion laws. USA Radio News' Wendy King reports.
Lawmakers in the South Carolina State Senate have passed a bill to ban most abortions, sending it to the Republican-controlled House, where it's expected to pass. But its fate is in doubt, as it will likely face a lengthy litigation before it becomes law. The state's governor, Henry McMaster, said he intends to sign the controversial South Carolina Fetal Heartbeat Protection from Abortion Act when it lands on his desk. The bill prohibits a doctor under threat of felony charges and a 2-year prison sentence from performing an abortion after the heartbeat of a fetus has been detected. That generally occurs between 6 to 8 weeks after conception and before most people know if they are pregnant. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest News Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
The number of abortion clinics in South Carolina has fluctuated over the years, with 15 in 1982, 18 in 1992, and only 3 in 2014. With very little details, the family of Cicely Tyson announced she passed on Thursday. Cicely in 2017 reflects on Steve Harvey's TV show, getting the Medal of Freedom from President Obama.
First of all, I have to tell you, I absolutely never expected to have President Obama hang a medal on my life. All things are possible. Only believe.
Cicely Tyson was 96 years old. For USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Well, anymore, I think we're learning we always have to be ready, right? 6 minutes after the top of the hour, we're going to be talking COVID, vax or no vax. You know, what is your side? You know, we're hearing a lot, you know, of what the government is trying to do. And I believe some of the information that we're not getting is some of the adverse effects that are taking place with those who have been vaccinated. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is going to be joining us. She's an osteopathic medical doctor, board certified in three medical specialties. She's widely regarded as the most knowledgeable and outspoken physician on the adverse impact that vaccines can have on our health. Dr. Tenpenny, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Bill. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, boy, I tell you, you've been on, you know, Dr. Oz, Today's Show, Australia. Many people are coming to you to hear your wise counsel and experience regarding the vaccine. I'm sure the government, part of me, wants to believe this, Dr. Tenpenny, and you can tell me if I'm deluded or not, for us to be able to turn around the vaccine with Operation Warp Speed in a record time. I'm not quite, you know, I mean, I know that things can happen and that not everything is perfect, but are you questioning the rapidity that maybe some steps may have been missed along the way, that we maybe due diligence didn't take place as a result of Operation Warp Speed?
May have been missed. They absolutely were overlooked and ignored. So I would take it even further than your premise.
Okay.
I mean, this is an experimental vaccine never used in humans before. They've been trying to develop a coronavirus vaccine since SARS in 2002, and they could never move it out of animal studies into human clinical trials because the FDA would not allow it. The coronavirus vaccines in the animal studies either caused serious adverse illness, like accelerated autoimmune disease in the animals, or the animals died. So we were never able to move a vaccine for coronavirus forward in the last 20 years. And yet, suddenly, we fast-tracked this without any thorough animal studies, without any long-term view of what the consequences to health could be in the next 1 year or 2 years, because autoimmune processes, when you get a vaccine, take a while to develop. Mm-hmm. I was speaking with some epidemiologists and people in Europe who said that at a minimum, it can take up to 4 to 6 weeks before you even start to see any adverse events, unless it's an immediate reaction. And we've seen people that are now having anaphylactic shock to some of the ingredients inside of the vaccines. Mm-hmm. So I've mapped out through a review of the medical literature at least 7 different pathways of how this vaccine can cause injury to your internal organs and can even cause death. And that is not being reported, and nobody's discussing it from the published peer-reviewed medical literature.
This is, I want to say it's shocking, what you just shared with us, But part of me is not surprised.
Well, I don't know why we're in such a big rush. Why are we rushing this? Why is it like suddenly we have to do this when vaccines generally take anywhere from 5 to 10 years, sometimes longer, to bring to market? We have a viral infection that has a recovery rate. People who get sick from this infection have a greater than 99% chance of recovery, but yet we have to fast-track a vaccine, warp-speed it across the country, threaten to have it delivered by the military, to be injected with something that's experimental and has never been thoroughly tested in human beings before. Long-term consequences have been evaluated. And in fact, one of the things that vaccines should be tested for are carcinogenicity, which means does it cause cancer?
Right.
Teratogenicity, does it cause disruptions to your DNA? Teratogenicity is birth defects. Mutagenicity, does it cause damage to your DNA? And does it cause infertility? We have no data on any of that with this vaccine.
And normally you would have this data if it went through its traditional trials and processes, right?
Well, we would have some of that data. I mean, when you actually look at all of the vaccines, the package inserts from even the childhood vaccines, that many of them say, we don't know if it causes cancer or not. But with this one, because we're fast-tracking it and we want 7.7 billion people around the world to get two doses of an experimental vaccine never delivered to humans before, we deserve to have much more due diligence than ever before, and we really haven't had it.
Dr. Tenpenny, what you have shared with us in a few moments here is very contrary to what the WHO, Dr. Fauci, others are promoting. I got to imagine that even the social media giants wouldn't allow you to utilize their platform.
Well, so far we've been lucky,
okay.
and we've been able, and I've been, just for the sake of your listeners here, Bill, I've been studying the problems associated with vaccines and sharing this type of information from the medical literature for more than 20 years. I've invested more than 40,000 hours of personal time into digging this information out of the medical literature and putting it out to the general public. So I just didn't wake up one morning and decide to look into COVID. This is something I've been doing for a very long time in terms of exposing the types of adverse events that can happen from any of the vaccines. When COVID vaccine came on the market, it was even a deeper dive into the literature, and what I found was, quite frankly, shocking, that we would push this forward into human trials and then roll it out on an Operation Warp Speed with nothing in terms of science to say that this was safe and that we should be doing this at this rate of speed.
It's the power of fear, isn't it?
It's absolutely the power of fear, and that's their biggest weapon. I mean, the people in charge of this, of all of this, they're smart people. They're brilliant. They can read the medical literature like any of us can. They're smart, and they've used fear as the biggest weapon. And quite frankly, Bill, as a Christian person myself, I believe that fear and faith can't stand in the same space.
Exactly. No, I agree. And the thing is, you wonder, at least I do, the old axiom, you follow the money. Who's being rewarded here, for this? Who is benefiting, from this fear angle, to get this vaccine out? You hear all these random stories, and it's not necessarily in the interest of the greater good, because in these groups of people, I might say, it is known that they have a sentiment that the population of the world is too big. And if we call the herd a little bit, it's no big whoop, because the world cannot sustain the population that exists today. So if you go in with that mindset, some casualties along the way, that's okay, because, that's just, the herd being culled, so to speak, because planet Earth cannot handle the population. Is that fair to introduce that to the conversation?
Absolutely it is, and you're right on task.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a scary thought. Again, you got to look at, as you're saying, these lever pullers. Who is it? What is their worldview? What are they, that would be of interest to me. I mean, I don't want a scientist that could care whether or not I live to be the one that is dictating the distribution and the involvement of these vaccines. You know, just as a sidebar and interest, that's all I've got to say. We've got to go to quick break. We've got more from Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the osteopathic medical doctor, right here. Stay with us.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Times are certainly uncertain. In fact, the return of food shortages is likely. Don't take chances. Make the decision to acquire a dependable supply of long-lasting emergency food. Food that lasts for up to 25 years in storage, ready the moment you need it. There's an old saying, failing to plan means planning to fail. Don't wait for the next crisis. Have a 3-month, 6-month, or even 1-year supply of food on hand. It's easy and affordable. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leader in emergency preparedness. We've served millions of folks like you for over a decade, and our mission is your survival. Our meals are delicious and provide you with 2,000 calories a day, and our kits arrive quickly and discreetly at your doorstep. Visit MyPatriotSupply.com and feast your eyes on the food that could save your life someday. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off yourself. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and face the future without regrets.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront, no hidden costs or fees, and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Hi, I'm Don Shank, bringing you today's global update from the Tide Ministry, sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ on the radio in 27 languages. This new year is bringing on a new face of world missions, and it's a hairy one. We're looking for men to join the Tide Yearbeard Challenge and stop shaving for a whole year. This challenge is meant to raise awareness and support for the Tide Ministry. Long beards draw attention, and the Tide has benefited from that attention. Through the Yearbeard campaign, these hairy guys will each have a goal that will help with more airtime for the Tide Ministry's radio programs, broadcast in local languages around the world to help connect people with Jesus. Participants in the Yearbeard Challenge can become hairy missionaries by signing up to grow out their beards for 1, 3, 6, or all 12 months. To learn more about how you can join other missions-minded men in raising awareness and support for the Tide Ministry by putting away your razor, visit yearbeard.org. That's yearbeard.org.
You know, we hear a lot about revival, but we need to understand the purpose of revival, and that is to, and I like what Dr. Sherry Tenpenny just said to me. She says, you know, it's about getting as many people into the ark as possible. And I think this is appropriate because this is what revival is all about. Revival is about the realization that we have abandoned God. We've turned our back on God, and we can't figure this out. Whether it's this pandemic, whether it's social injustice, the racial bigotry, that systemic racial accusations that are flying about and on and on. I mean, how are we going to solve? You think the election of the 46th president is going to solve all those problems? And the pandemic is nothing new under the sun. We were told in God's word from God's very own mouth that this would happen. So no big surprise here. So what's our responsibility, knowing that we've had advanced knowledge of this and we can get ahead of this, and we don't necessarily, I think common sense thing, God has empowered us in such a way, Dr. Tenpenny, that by our willful decisions, we can either be for life or for death. Be conforming, as my friend Pastor Phil Hotzenpiller says, we can either be conforming or believing. And if we're going to conform to the Dr. Fauci's and the others that have so much to gain, you know, as we follow the money, and that becomes more and more obvious, or do we choose God and say we're going to much rather run under the cover of God himself and do what's right for ourselves, our family, and our neighbors?
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, that's what people have to understand here. You know, Bill, I said earlier in the first segment that I've been trying to wake people up and get people to understand that vaccines are not safe. They don't keep you from getting sick. They're not necessary, and they absolutely do cause harm. I've been on this quest. It's a God-given quest to me, and there's a whole story behind that we don't have time to go into.
Last 20 years
I've been doing this.
Yeah.
And it was very hard to move the needle just a little bit because we have a 200-year multi-generational indoctrination on that topic. Mm-hmm. And to get people to say, well, wait a minute, if I don't vaccinate my kids, they're going to die, right? No, they're going to be perfectly healthy. Mm-hmm. And so we to get people to just start to question what's coming through that needle. Are there side effects? Is this really necessary? Do I have to get 7 shots all on the same day? Mm-hmm. Was a lot of work. And now suddenly, in fact, I'm the type of person that I tend to think I look at the glasses half full, and I like to take lemons and make lemonade. And so one of the good things, in my opinion, that's come out of a lot of this COVID is that people are now suddenly questioning this whole vaccine paradigm on a global basis. Globally, people are questioning it for maybe the first time ever. And they're going, fast track? Really? What?
Right.
Wait.
Yeah.
Experimental, never done before, side effects, nobody knows. Maybe I should wait. In fact, the data shifted. Dell Bigtree on the High Wire has said this multiple times, that that way back in the beginning, in March and April of 2020, the survey showed that about 70% of people were praying for this vaccine, and as soon as it was available, they were going to take it. Mm-hmm. And now about 67%, a big pendulum swing, about 67% say either absolutely not or I think I'm just going to wait. I'm not so sure. Number one, is it necessary? I mean, we have a virus that has a 99% recovery rate. Do I really need it? Oh, I think I had COVID last year and I'm fine. Do I need a vaccine? Mm-hmm. What about these side effects we've been hearing about and we've been seeing videos on social media? Now, the VAERS report, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System here in the U.S., a report came out just a couple of days ago, that as of January 15th, 2021, and VAERS is the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System. It's a passive reporting system monitored by the FDA where people can report an adverse event from a vaccine. And the adverse events can be anything from a sore arm up to a death. And as of January the 15th, now remember, we've only been, you know, mass vaccinating with COVID for about 6 weeks at this point. There were 181 deaths reported, and many of them were in their 30s and 40s. And on average, it was about 19 to 20 days after just the first shot. and now we're intended to give a second shot somewhere between 3 and 6 weeks later, what is it going to look like at that point when we re-expose people to another dose of this, in my opinion, very deadly vaccine?
Exactly. And what's happening with some people, and Dr. Fauci talked about this yesterday, that people are reticent to come in for that second dose. And so now the campaign is that you've got to have both doses or, you know, it compromises the viability of the vaccine, right?
Well, that's what they say. I mean, they always say that, and that's why in the childhood vaccination schedule, there's a series of three. In some cases, it's a series of two. This one, they say, well, we prime the system with the first vaccine, and then we boost the antibody levels super high with the second vaccine so that you've got long-term protection. However, I want to share one quick piece from the medical literature that talks about that the higher the antibody response to the vaccine is, the greater the likelihood is that that antibody that was actually induced to be developed by the vaccine will damage your lungs.
Oh.
And so now we're going to start seeing people that have had a vaccine. They're going to go to the hospital with shortness of breath, maybe coughing up blood, and they're going to get treated as pneumonia or ARDS, which is adult respiratory distress syndrome, or maybe pulmonary embolisms, which are clots to the lung. They're going to be treated like this is a side effect of the viral infection, when actually it's a side effect from the vaccine.
Yeah. Well, we know the numbers have been worked. Let me ask you another predominant question, Sherry, that keeps coming up here regarding what's in the vaccine. It has been reported that you've got aborted fetal tissue or DNA involved in some of these vaccines. You know more than we do. What do you know about that?
Well, the viral genetic material was initially cultured in cells that came from human kidneys, cells from a fetus, and the cells came from kidneys. So, yes, there's still stray cells in there because you can't get them completely out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that the rubella portion of the vaccine, the shingles vaccine, the chickenpox vaccine, they're all made from cells of aborted fetal tissue also. And the FDA actually tells them how many of those cells are allowed to be in their lot.
Oh, wow.
And so we know that they're there. I'm more concerned about three of the lipid type of ingredients that are in the Pfizer vaccine, because these three chemicals have never been used in vaccines before. You know, we'll call them chemical 1, 2, and 3.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't had chemical 1 or 2 or 3 in any vaccine ever, but yet we're putting 1 plus 2 plus 3 into one vaccine. So we're using experimental chemicals that have never been tested in humans, have never been tested for synergistic toxicity, in an experimental vaccine using genetic material that's never been injected into humans on a mass scale before. It's one big one big experiment.
We're all lab rats here.
Absolutely.
This is what it comes down to. And then why would you inoculate young kids, for example?
Well, that's the next big press. Now they're saying, oh, kids can't come back to school until they've had a COVID vaccine. Zero studies on vaccines, of this vaccine in kids. Zero.
Mm-hmm.
And the risk of children contracting this infection is close to zero as it can possibly be. This is worse than a lab rat experiment, Bill. This is designed to create either customers for life or probably even kill people. You know, I mentioned to you on the break, there's 526 drugs in the developmental pipeline under the PREP Act, which means they can be developed without any liability. And these 526 medications that are in development are designed to treat COVID. Well, why do we need 526 new drugs to treat the flu? What these drugs are going to be is to treat the horrifying side effects,
exactly.
Vaccine.
Yeah, what do they know that they're not telling us?
Exactly.
As you say, every single person that takes this vaccine will be injured in some way. Many will die. We are already seeing hundreds of deaths. Dr. Tenpenny goes on to say, this is an experiment vaccine on a massive scale. I would never agree to take it or give it to my patients or my family. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Sherry, thank you so much. Look forward to having you back. We've got to keep this conversation going. You have a great
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
All righty. God bless.
So
all righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Bugsy, you hear the news about Vinny?
Yeah, it's a real shame he owed money to the IRS and they finally cut up with him.
Just like Al Capone.
If the IRS can get the Capone, imagine what they can do to little old Vinny, huh?
Poor cat, he was on top of the world, then bada boom, bada bing.
What Vinny needs now is an offer he can't refuse.
Hey, you got a tax problem? Does the IRS claim you owe them a bunch of dough? They can get you, too. So call the Tax Relief Line now and learn if you qualify to negotiate your $10,000-plus IRS tax debt for up to a 75% savings. Don't be like Al or Vinny and get busted. Make this free call now. Learn how you may be able to pay the IRS less.
Call now. 888-789-5040. 888-789-5040, 888-789-5040, 888-789-5040.
USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
The CDC is reporting South Carolina has the first known U.S. COVID-19 case of a fast-spreading variant discovered in South Africa. Although easier to spread, there is no indication it's deadlier. Moderna, Pfizer, and now Novavax have each reported that their vaccines, while still effective, offer less protection against the South African variant, which means a lower efficacy rate somewhere between 60 and 85.6%. Former President Trump met with House of Representatives Republican leader Kevin McCarthy on Thursday and agreed to help Republicans win back the majority in the House. Representative McCarthy says Democrats have only put forward an agenda that divides America further. And President Trump is committed to helping elect Republicans in the House and Senate in 2022. Cicely Tyson, the actress who captured the power and grace of black women in America, has died. Tyson's death was announced by her family, who did not immediately provide any additional details. She was 96. This is USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Bill Martinez, live.
It is 28 minutes before the top of the hour. DeRoy Murdoch joins us now, Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online. Happy day, DeRoy. How are you, buddy?
Good day to you, Bill. Good to talk to you again.
Exactly. Well, let's talk impeachment. Boy, this is quite the drama. Senator Patrick Leahy, who was picked to preside over the Trump impeachment trial, did receive a clean bill of health after experiencing some muscle spasms. So he will be back there. But notably missing is Justice Roberts. What are we to make of his obvious absence?
Well, it says a couple things. One is that Justice Roberts sees what's clear to anybody who's got two eyes open, which is that this is a totally unconstitutional, absurd, and illogical exercise. The impeachment power is given to the House to impeach and to the Senate to hold a trial for the purpose of removing from office the president, the vice president, or various executive officers and even judges, frankly, in the federal government. Donald J. Trump, if I don't know if you noticed, I may have noticed too, maybe our listeners have noticed this as well, he's not in the White House today. He's in Mar-a-Lago. He no longer is in office. He's now a private citizen just like you and me and our listeners. And so the idea of holding an impeachment trial to remove from office somebody who already is removed makes no sense, and I believe that's the reason Justice Roberts is not playing along with this charade. And so instead of Justice Roberts, who is a judge and impartial and doesn't have a horse in this race, if you will, we're going to have the president pro tem of the Senate, the longest, the most senior and most tenured member of the majority party. That would be Senator Pat Leahy of Vermont. He's been there since 1975. He's been the U.S. Senate for 45 years, long, long time. And he is not exactly, you know, middle of the road, even-handed, disinterested individual. He is a very left-wing Democrat. He is no fan of Donald J. Trump. And I don't see how a guy like him, who is no fan of Trump, in fact, a big enemy of Trump, can sit there and A, be impartial, and B, even if he is impartial and he's saying, look, Pat, do the best you can, don't put your thumb on the scale, and he rules a certain way on some motion or amendment or request, whatever, and people are not happy with the decision, people are going to say, oh, it's because he's a left-wing Democrat, he's just being unfair. So there's either going to be the reality of bias or the appearance of bias, and neither one bodes well for uniting and bringing our country together.
Well, isn't this the case at the end of the day where the senator becomes the judge and jury? Because he still gets a vote, right?
Yeah, sure. I mean, he's going to be, like, imagine, it'd be like sitting in a courtroom, and you have the judge sitting there in the middle of the court, and every few minutes he runs over and sits in the jury box.
Exactly.
And then at the end, when everybody goes to deliberate, he goes into the jury room to deliberate. And if they have any questions, he jumps back on the bench to answer the questions that people have in the jury room. It's just ridiculous. Right. Absolutely absurd. And this whole thing has become utterly laughable. We have to focus on a number of things. One is Joe Biden's nominating people at cabinet and sub-cabinet and other executive branch positions. They need to be given votes to be confirmed or rejected, as the case may be. You've got Americans desperate for COVID-19 relief. I'm a big restaurant fan. I know restaurateurs in New York City and elsewhere are just gasping for air. They're on their last few breaths. They need help. The entire economy needs some sort of economic recovery stimulus, whatever you want to call it. And all of that is being delayed so the Democrats can have one more swing of the Donald J. Trump pinata and get their jollies as they beat up on this man one more time, which seems to be their favorite indoor activity.
Exactly. And also hope that somehow with Joe Biden as president, they'll be able to open up the Treasury and get healed financially. But at what expense? I mean, it's going to be a short-term answer for them, because meanwhile, they've killed all the small businesses that represent tax revenue to them. What are they going to do with their absence? Because some of these small businesses, they're not coming back to Roy.
They're not coming back. And, you know, they could have been, look, they could have gotten relief anywhere from late summer through the fall. And Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer stood in the way, particularly Nancy Pelosi. Mm-hmm. And after the election, she said, well, I'm now willing to deal because we have a new president coming in. So this whole exercise on the part of Nancy Pelosi, not taking yes for an answer, not agreeing to anything that President Trump offered, was basically just designed to keep him from getting a victory that he could present on the campaign trail that would help him get elected, especially in a tight election. And so her view was, well, let's make the small businesses and their customers and their employees suffer and agonize and be in pain if that's the price it takes to get Trump out of office. And,
exactly.
I guess they succeeded. Really, truly, truly cruel, sadistic behavior on the part of Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats.
What's antithetical to what our founding fathers had intended, and that is to have, you know, citizen legislators that would go out and be subjected to the very policies and laws that they pass. But in this case, you know, this is why we keep getting this kind of chaos and insanity from our elected elites, because there's no judgment for them. It's all felt by the minions down below, right?
This is very true. I mean, there ought to be a very simple law that says Congress will live under every law it passes for the country.
Yes.
And look, if they love Obamacare so much, wonderful. Live under Obamacare. Instead, we get stuck with Obamacare. They've got instead a very, very generous health care package, which every member of Congress gets, where they've got choice. They've got excellent doctors, go to any doctor you want, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what they get while we get stuck with Obamacare. We get stuck with Social Security, which is, you know, is just a giant Ponzi scheme. They get the beautiful congressional pension, which is actually invested in stocks and bonds. As far as I know, there's actually some value behind it. It's very generous, and you can invest into it after, I think, just a couple terms in Congress. So they rely on that while the rest of us rely on the Social Security hope.
Right.
So
why do the voters forget this? I mean, are we just, you know, we just experienced. We went through all the pain of Obamacare, just as a case in point, just what you just pointed out. They carved out, you know, special exemptions for themselves. They avoided living under this incredible health care program that was just so awesome, even though there were some that said that it was a bit confusing. I don't know. Did you ever take on to try to read the 2,800 pages of Obamacare?
Oh, I did. I mean, when the not the whole thing, frankly, but I know as the bill was being debated, I went on online, congress.gov, looked up the legislation, and I was just amazed at it, at the complexity, the self-contradiction.
Exactly.
You were in compliance with clause C5A. You were violating clause K312, whatever it might be. You know, it was really at the point where if you were an employer and you're trying to do the right thing, you could not obey Obamacare without violating Obamacare because so much of it was self-contradictory.
Exactly.
And self-destructive and self-negating. I mean, it's a terrible piece of legislation, and it could have been replaced with very simple. Look, if you don't have insurance, we'll help you buy it. We'll give you a voucher worth $2,000, $5,000, $7,000, whatever the number is. Go buy the insurance you want, whatever makes you happy. And instead, we had to turn the entire medical system upside down in order to benefit something like, if I remember correctly, about at most 35 million people out of 330 million people.
Well, that's generous because, remember, it started out with there were these 30 million people that were uncovered, and we had to deal with them. I mean, this was almost like a similar argument that President Johnson used in the mid-60s, you know, regarding the war on poverty. I mean, for a small percentage of people, and then at the end of the day, and, you know, end of the day and years later, decades later, you go, well, how are we doing here? Have we moved the needle much? And, you know, we find out that after near $30 trillion in the war on poverty, you know, we haven't moved it a whole lot. And then we discover that 70%, according to Bob Woodson, 70% of that $30 trillion has gone to the bureaucracy. It hasn't even gone to the people that it was earmarked for.
Yeah, which is what's so frustrating. I mean, if the government's going to spend money, let's at least put it in the pockets of poor people so they can do something with it. A lot of it, as you say, goes into the bureaucracy. It goes into studies, academicians who get together at conferences to focus on poverty, and government pays for that. I believe Thomas Sowell of the Hoover Institution at Stanford University, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but I believe he calculated the anti-poverty budget divided by the number of poverty recipients and figured every recipient should get something like $50,000, $60,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they didn't get anything like that. And you say the bureaucracy sucked up most of it. I will tell you what did help poverty dramatically, and that was the presidency of Donald J. Trump. We saw the highest median national, I should say median household income under President Trump, approximately $68,000, up about 6.89% over 2018. Number one. Number two, the poverty level fell to the lowest level in American history, and the black poverty level fell below 20% for the first time in American history. So we made the most progress against poverty in 3 years under Donald J. Trump versus something like 50-plus years under LBJ, the Democrats, and the war on poverty programs.
Exactly. Got to go to break. More from DeRoy after this. Stay with us.
Here's an important COVID-19 school system update for your local area. If you're concerned about your child's education, please pay close attention to this message. The current school systems were not set up for at-home learning. If you're worried that your child may not be getting the grades they need to get ahead, may be losing self-confidence, or you're worried about them getting into a good college because of their grades, help is available to you. Call Grade Potential Tutoring. They can help with in-home or online tutoring and help your child with any subject and every grade level, even for test prep. They're experts in the home tutoring and online tutoring field and confident they can help you and your child get better grades today. Call now for your free consultation. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. 800-539-5860. That's 800-539-5860.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, so if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital is offering a low 30-year fixed rate at 2.5 with a 2.51% APR with no lender fees. Incredible! Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.5 with a 2.51% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it. Again, that's a 30-year fixed at 2.5 with a 2.51% APR. Call the experts at Network Capital right now. Call 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight and the Finance Lenders Law. Number 603-D77. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Bill Martinez for We the People.
We're back with you, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us, just about 14 minutes before the top of the hour. DeRoy Murdoch, a Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, contributing editor of National Review Online and founding member of Project 21 Black Leadership Network, continues with us. DeRoy, you started to cite some of the obvious facts and successes of the Trump administration. Of course, all those are being drowned out, you know, whether it's Stephanopoulos and on, the talking heads on the left want to negate any good thing that Donald Trump has done. And yet Joe Biden, instead of, you know, riding off of that that momentum that he's created, even in spite of COVID-19, is just like some kind of mad newfound manager of a company who's coming in and just lopping things off, you know, canceling jobs. So you had a job creating president. Now we've got, again, the return of a job destroying president who's come into play.
Yeah, I think we should call him Job Killing Joe. I think that's probably the appropriate name for him at this point. Yeah, you know, this, the whole concept behind the Biden candidacy was that he was this big moderate who's going to come in and unite the country and bring us all together and lower the temperature and we'd all hold hands and sing the Star Spangled Banner, what have you. He's only been there a week, and I'm waiting for moderate Joe to show up for work. Maybe he's tied up in the basement at Wilmington, and his evil twin, Job Killing Joe, is arrested and is taking the oath of office. As you say, I've seen it very quickly. I think the first 6 hours in office, he killed the Keystone Pipe. That wiped out 1,000 jobs, just like that. Mm-hmm. Then there is a ban on new drilling on federal lands. That's supposed to kill 10,000 jobs. And then you've got this $15 per hour minimum wage, which he wants. Again, you've got companies all across the country, big companies and small businesses, that are just desperate to hang on. They're barely making it, if at all, given the COVID-19 pandemic, the various lockdowns and economic slowdowns. They barely can afford to pay the employees they've not laid off already. And here comes Joe Biden saying, you got to give these people $15. A lot of them will say, you know what, I can't pay that. That's or right. They'll pay the $15 an hour, but what they'll do is they'll just cut people's hours. So instead of working, you know, 40-hour week, you'll work a, 25-hour week. So you'll get 15 an hour, but for 25 hours, not for 40, let's say. And a lot of companies will say, you know what, we can't afford this. We'll just automate. We'll just get robots. We'll get machines. Machines never scream for pay increases. They don't text their friends. They don't get sick. They don't leave for Christmas or Hanukkah break or whatever. So you know what? Let's just automate. Who needs these employees anyway? So I think that this should be called the Robot Full Employment Act of 2021. I think Joe Biden will be good for robots, though not good for American workers.
Well, the misery that we experienced under Biden-Obama is back. And we're getting some buyer remorse. People are saying, well, that's not what I voted for. Well, what were you thinking? I mean, if you want to know what somebody is, what they're going to do, look at what they've done. I mean, he's been doing this for 50 years. Like, all of a sudden, he's going to change his stripes. You know, and the thing that concerns me, just from basic business principles, DeRoy, is he is demonstrating such a level of incompetence that it's scary. It's like, I mean, any manager with any kind of experience knows when they go into an organization, you don't start making wholesale changes unless you're in the middle of a, you know, like a bankruptcy, you know, order or something like that. I mean, you're very careful before you make changes. I mean, day one, 17 executive orders is like that is reckless. It's irresponsible. And I got to tell you, businessmen around the country, around the world are looking at this and going, man, this guy is the Peter Principle personified. And America's economy and America's future is not very bright because we lack a bright individual in the Oval Office right now as the chief executive officer.
Yeah, Joe Biden truly has risen to his highest level of incompetence and be the highest level of incompetence in the country. That's absolutely correct. And look, I think there ought to be a lesson here for the voters, and that is that American voters need to understand that when you vote for someone for president or governor or senator or whatever it is, you're not looking for your best friend and your buddy with whom you can go and have drinks and go bowling. This is ridiculous. Oh, Biden's nice. He seems like a nice guy. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I'm sure he's lovely. If we went out for drinks with him, I'm sure he'd be very, you know, gracious. But that's not the point. The point is you need somebody who is going to be leading the executive branch, introducing sensible legislation and proposals, signing sensible bills, vetoing dumb bills, and otherwise conducting the affairs of state of the United States of America to the benefit of the American people,
Amen.
Their freedom, their prosperity, and their safety. And if it means you've got a guy in the office, Oval Office, who's kind of loud, and maybe he's not the nicest person around, and maybe he screams at his underlings, whatever it is, you know, I'll take that guy versus some guy who's nice and pleasant and charming, who is wrecking the country because he has no understanding of basic economics, for example. I'm sure George S. Patton was not a nice guy. I don't think Ulysses S. Grant was a nice guy. I don't think MacArthur was a nice guy. We're talking about generals, not presidents. But this whole idea that we need to put in somebody nice. You know, I like nice people. I'd rather have somebody who's competent, does the right thing, and is not particularly pleasant than some guy who's nice and warm and toasty, who has no idea what he's doing and wrecks the economy and wrecks the country. And so people
exactly.
got to get over this notion of the President of the United States as a drinking buddy in chief.
You know, some sort of popularity contest. I mean, it's like, hey, can you get me to the Super Bowl? Can you win me the game? You know, can you, when you go up to bat, can I count on you to at least get a hit, a home run, you know, even better, but can you, is there merit here? And that's what's thrown out the window. Thank you very much. We can blame, and really the fault of this, in a big way, lands at the feet of the mainstream established media and big tech that took over the narrative. I mean, it is amazing to me that somehow they think that a short speech by Donald Trump would cause an insurrection after 4 years where 90% of the reporting was negative about Donald Trump, and they were able to overcome and get somebody who's been probably the most successful president in the modern era to get him out of service, not, allow the people to reelect him with all this information they've put in there for all these years. But yet for a short speech, he somehow it's risen to insurrection.
Yeah, no. Again, I'm waiting for somebody, anybody to show me the words or the sentence or the paragraph, the passage where Donald J. Trump said, attack the Capitol, break the windows, kick in the doors, storm the floor of the U.S. Senate. I didn't hear anything remotely like that. I heard him say, you're going to Capitol Hill to, as he put it, to peacefully and patriotically let your voices be heard. There's nothing, that does not sound like an attack order. And then it turns out over the last few days, we've learned that this attack was not spontaneously incited right on the scene off the cuff by Donald J. Trump. This was in the works at least since January 5, which is the day before, and maybe as early as January 1st, which is 5 days earlier. Mm-hmm. So how do you spontaneously incite a riot that already was in the making 1 to 5 days before that?
Exactly.
Defies the laws of physics, as far as I can tell.
Well, and also what's being discovered was that typical of what happened in these other Democratic-controlled cities that were, you know, real riots, not mostly peaceful riots, but real riots took place where there was, you know, some weapons that were planted that suddenly were conveniently placed around. So there were some nefarious things in and around that had nothing to do with the followers of MAGA country and Donald Trump or our Constitution. And as one father said, the police there opened up the gate and it was like an invite. Welcome, you know, come in. He had his kids with him. He thought, hey, it was all good. And if you saw the video of people walking in between the stanchions, I mean, you thought that they were on a, on some coordinated tour of, the buildings there.
Well, my guess is probably what happened is after the more aggressive rioters rampaged, knocked down the barricades and so on, the cops figured, okay, well, we can't stop these people. We're just going to stand by and just let them pour in. A little bit like, as you may recall, when the Berlin Wall was knocked down, at some point the guards said, well, they're going to pass through. There's not much we can do about it. So
we can't shoot enough of them, right? Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. Now, I'm not going to let off the hook people who shouldn't have been in there in the first place.
No, but, you're exactly right.
I mean, they shouldn't have gone in there. They should have gone through the regular doors, not through the kicked-in doors. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it is something to look at the media attacking President Trump, attacking his supporters for the riot 2 weeks ago today. Excuse me. Was it actually three? I guess 3 weeks ago today, now that I think about it. And during the George Floyd riots, you had Essence magazine, a woman named Yesha Callahan. The article is headlined, Burn It All Down. And she said, until these things disgust you, black COVID-19 deaths, cops killed by black folks killed by cops, et cetera, until these things disgust you, we riot, we protest, and do whatever it takes to get your attention, including burning it all down. Mm-hmm. We had none other than Chris Cuomo of CNN. He said, please show me where it says that protests are supposed to be polite and peaceful. The so-called paper of record, a woman there named Nicole Hannah-Jones, she said, destroying property which can be replaced is not violence. Mm-hmm. So you have people on the left encouraging, egging on this violence, not just for about an hour or two, but for about 2 months, going on 3 months after the George Floyd killing. And nobody seemed to flinch at that as people in the media, even Democrat office holders, basically encouraged this chaos and mayhem. And now, of course, when people who are Trump supporters engage in behavior in which they shouldn't, then, of course, the left screams and yells and goes crazy. So they are kind of, latter-day law and order supporters. They were not there, 6-8 months ago when we could have used their help.
Right. Well, they sure are broad-brushing the narrative, no doubt. A small number, like anything, a small number of people, and how many of those people were actually, MAGA-related, how many were either Antifaites, BLMers who were the ones that actually ignited this, because we know that 20 minutes before the speech was over, they were already storming the Bastille there. But, it doesn't seem like the mainstream media and others are interested in the whole truth and nothing but. They'd much rather us, stay in the realm of chaos and confusion. DeRoy Murdoch, Manhattan-based Fox News contributor, how can they be in touch with you, DeRoy?
See my stuff at DeRoyMurdoch.com, DeRoyMurdoch.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it, but only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
Hi, I'm